people have been arriving all morning. They've got all the Trump gear here lined up. A lot of people purchasing that as well. Even though it's been raided today, people very excited to be in at this rally. We should say that the president really is keeping the engines of Air Force One hot. He's barnstorming across the country more like a challenger than an incumbent running for re-election. But that's exactly what he did back in 2016. And obviously, it's something that worked out well for him. In Allentown, just a few minutes ago, the president labeled Joe Biden as the worst candidate in history, saying, voting for this guy. Now, of course, the president is trying to depress the vote for Joe Biden, but at the same time, he's also raising the bar for himself, because if he loses against the worst candidate in history, that is something that he's going to have to live with. The president does believe he's got a very powerful issue, though, here in oil-producing states like Pennsylvania, as well as Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, and others, Ohio as well, by pointing out that Joe Biden said in the last debate, just almost at the very end of the debate, that he wants to do away with the oil industry. This is what the president said in Allentown a short time ago.
Joe Biden confirmed his plan to abolish the entire U.S. oil industry. That means no fracking, no jobs, no energy for Pennsylvania families, Texas.
Cheryl, can you unmute you? Never mind. Go ahead.
I just did. Thank you.
Now, Joe Biden has said that he is not against fracking, that he doesn't want to ban fracking, though he is on the record saying he wants to end fracking on federal lands. The president also playing down the recent spike in coronavirus cases, despite the fact that she mentioned at the top, Harris.
He's got a loud TV on.
The president saying that
I don't know. Oh, I see him.
Bodie, Shortledge, Elias, and Emmerich.
We've got 10 minutes. Check out the eyebrows, Lori. I'm doing a side view so they can all see. Did you like that?
Yeah, I did.
Think anybody got it?
Mm-mm.
Are you muted? Oh, yeah, you're muted.
You're not.
Hi, Bob.
Hi. I'm looking to see who said hi.
Me, Beverly.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon.
Same to you.
Everybody.
Bob, you're going to have to unmute yourself.
Yeah, when I'm ready to speak, I do that.
All right.
Keith is here too, correct?
Looks just like you, Cheryl.
A little brighter than I am.
I could recognize you anywhere.
He's quieter than I am.
Good afternoon, Miss Joanne.
Do you have that flag? The American flag near you, Russ?
I do.
Good. Okay. Yeah, it's my understanding that Joe Prisco will not be in attendance today.
It's number two.
Two meetings.
But you're allowed to miss three regular meetings consecutively.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mistake.
Is Keith on board with us too? Did I see him?
Yeah, he's there.
Yes.
Keith is there hiding.
Wish we all could.
It's under the desk, I think.
Okay. Okay, it's 1:30 and I'd like to call to order the Port Malabar. Excuse me? It's 1:30? No?
Yep, go ahead, Joanne.
Okay, it's 1:30. I'd like to call to order the Port Malabar Holiday Park Mobile Home Park Recreation District's workshop meeting of October 26, 2020. If Russ Livermore would display the American flag. Is Russ Livermore there?
I'm here.
Okay. I pledge allegiance,
To the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic
for which it stands,
one nation under God,
indivisible,
with liberty, and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheryl, could we have the roll call?
Sure. Joe Prisco? Absent. Joanne Gagan?
Here.
Russ Livermore?
Here.
Keith Richer?
Here.
Bob Shortledge?
Here.
Jack Emmerich?
Here.
Cheryl Moore? Here. Cynthia Boda?
Here.
Beverly Elias?
Yeah.
And Cherie Morris will be joining us also.
Here.
Thanks, Cherie.
Sweet. Announcements. I'm going to be adding to the agenda item 8A. I'd like to have discussion regarding the opening or closing of the rec hall, as well as future trustee meetings. Also, in order to save time and make the motions explicitly clear for the minutes, if I state a motion and need it to be voted on, and someone wants to, all you need to say is "so moved." You do not have to repeat the motion, and then we'll go on with a second and continue, unless the motion you want to state it differently. Is that okay, Cheryl, with you?
Okay.
Say "so moved." You don't have to repeat the motion. You just say, "I'll give the motion," or "I'll say the motion." For example, okay. I'd like them. Okay. We'll see what the next when we get to the minutes. You just have to say "so moved" and a second. It just saves time. Just a reminder: if you have any new neighbors, remind them about channel 732. Get the information from there. If anyone I hope is on from the ACC board, I'm going to ask them to be very vigilant as we may be getting homes coming in. I explicitly would like to see that the color charts are given to all people prior to buying homes, putting up homes, painting homes. So that's up to the ACC board, and I'm going to ask them to be explicitly vigilant on that. Figure it out how you're going to do it. Our next meeting, of course, is November 9th. We'll discuss where and how. In number 9 on the agenda, where it's follow-ups, that are not the only follow-ups we have to discuss. Those are just examples. You have the right to, and I hope you will join in any other follow-ups that you wish. With that, number 5 on the agenda is, may I have a motion to accept the meeting minutes of October 12, 2020?
So moved.
Do we have a
second? Keith seconds.
Okay, Keith so moved seconds. By Jack.
Russ?
Jack and Keith. Okay. Well, are there any public comments regarding the minutes, which, by the way, are always posted on the website so you can read them ahead of time? Anybody from the public have any comments? Any trustee comments? Call for a vote. All in favor accepting the minutes of 10/12/20, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Approved. Cherie, we will have your manager's report now.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Happy Monday.
Hello.
Hi. Some of the moratoriums for evictions and foreclosures have been lifted. I am still waiting to hear back from Huntington National Bank regarding the removal of the people living at 437. I spoke to them on Friday, and I'm going through another department, so hopefully they can get their act together and contact us this week. The bids for the FAR BAR contract for the purchase of the 9 Pombe-owned homes have been selected by the Community and Economic Development Director and the town manager. I attached the list to the trustees. Holiday Park application deadline is Friday, October 30th, for them to submit their applications to Holiday Park. One of those is Holiday Parks. We are waiting for two more applications. That would be 254 Holiday Park Boulevard. I am in contact with those folks, and they own 256, I believe, and a family member is purchasing 254. The other one is the only one out of the 9 that I haven't been in contact with, and that is 1042 Moonlight. And consequently, that is the worst home out of the 9. So that one will absolutely not be approved as a rehab. So that will definitely be removed. I'm still waiting to get their application. The city of Palm Bay has been in constant contact with them, and they are aware of that. One home that just, I found this out Friday, 164 Holiday Park Boulevard. It's the greenhouse next to the storage compound that was sold at auction. The redemption amount was $11,178.76. I do not know what it sold for at auction. However, the redemption was the $11,000. The gentleman came in Monday late afternoon, and he's supposed to come in today after 3 p.m. He will not get a decal. However, he's going to submit his application. The application will not be approved. There's several violations. Again, we are not concerned with the interior unless, of course, it's infested and he'll have to take care of it. But we are concerned with the exterior, the appearance of the home, the weeding, and so forth. So any violation that is there will have to be corrected before he's given a decal and the application is approved. We do have 9 more homes that the county will be turning over at some point. I'm not quite sure when. One of the parcels actually is the vacant lot on Moonlight. So I'm going to be researching the possibility of the county quit deeding these over to Holiday Park. From what I understand right now, they have to go through Palm Bay. But if we can get the same situation where the county forgives the past liens and so forth on those, we can get the same situation, except we won't have to deal with Palm Bay. I'm working on that now to see if we could possibly get those quit deeded from Palm Bay to us. We may have to pay some of the utility bills that have they incurred. So I am researching that, and I will keep the board informed as to the progress on that. New bushes and flowers have been planted at the entrance to the park and around the gazebo. We will be ordering more podocarpus for the entrance. I'm not going to wait to see if they're going to put a road in. I think that's probably years down the road if they even do it. So in the meantime, we want to fill those gaps in. Also, we're ordering bushes for the front of the clubhouse to the right where there's a gap there. So we're going to fill that in. Pool Shore has installed the new equipment on both pools. Jose and myself are still learning the electronics. We hope to perfect that this week. The AC unit was installed for the lobby and the library on the 14th. We will wait to install the last unit, which is for the billiards and card room, as it is not utilized on a daily basis. It still cools adequately, but will eventually need replacing. Republic Services will be replacing both of the Holiday Park dumpsters. We will get a 2-yard roll-off at the rec building and a 6-yard roll-off at the grounds compound. I've talked with several departments with Republic and have developed a nice rapport with them. I am going to pick up where Cheryl left off and continue with our battle. I, now that I have a personal relationship kind of sort of with these departments, and see what we can see if they will help us now that we have an in with the actual company instead of town council. So just be patient. I'm going to try to see what I can do there. The Melbourne Tillman Canal has been mowed, the ditches from Holiday Park to Americana. I don't think they did a very good job, but I'm going to call them out on it. The perimeter of the heated pool and the cool pool, the around the bottom part portion has been caulked, and the heated pool is done. The cold pool we're starting now, and then the aprons around both pools will be painted. Just want to remember, wear your masks. I did stay late Thursday night, and I do want to say I did go into the billiards room a few times after 7:30 p.m., and everybody had their masks on.
Good.
Yay.
And I snuck up on them. So there wasn't like, oh, Cherie's coming, put on your mask. No, they did have their masks on, so I'm very pleased to report that.
Good.
And just one more thing. Remember, a lot of folks are coming home, coming back from up north. Please don't park on the grass. I'm noticing it's getting a little bit out of hand again, and I will start sending letters. I do stay late, so it's, you know, I know what you're doing. Whoever's listening, spread the word. You will be getting letters. Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, I have a couple of questions, then we'll go around to all of the trustees. They may have them as well. When it comes to the these other 9 homes that you speak of that you're going to be working on, are you working on it alone, or have you involved the attorney or anybody else?
These are homes that we have been following and monitoring. Lori and I pretty much monitor the tax roll very closely. And these are homes that, according to the county, that will be coming up for receivership or auction, if you will. I do have a list that I wrote down of those. I really wanted to wait to see how we proceed and how things work out with these 9 before I really dive into the next. So far, we're doing really well with them. It's 140 Holiday Park, 1232 Willow, 280 Blossom, 1071 Wood, 1074 Moonlight, which is a vacant lot, 1214 Shell, 105 Holiday Park, and 240 Berry. There's 3 more in addition. However, I don't know how close they are with the county, but we're going to monitor these, and I will be contacting the county this week to find out where they stand with them and the disposition of these as well.
Okay, I also wanted to make mention about the next air conditioning unit that you think might need to be replaced. I think that should come before the board prior to going ahead with anything. I'm sure it's been allocated in the budget, but we really should know about it beforehand and know what the price is too, because we didn't until after it was done with the other. I have no other questions. Jack Emmerich, do you have anything?
No questions.
Any trustee? Any public comment? Trustee comment? Cheryl?
I do. I was going to ask about 9 homes. Two of the things, almost like Joanne mentioned the attorney. Is the attorney someone should we contact to make the official contact with the county to say that we're interested in getting those quitclaim deeds prior to that being done? Or do we, what do you think is the best way to go with that?
What I'm doing is I'm finding out the status. This is just from our research. I want to make sure that, in fact, they are what they say they are with the county. Mm-hmm. And then I know
we're not making any movement, official contact letters or anything. Okay. Absolutely. So we're just in the inquiry stage right now. Right. And then the AC units, because I'd gotten that thing when I got my mail, the cost of getting those in, had that must have been approved a long time ago with the trustees to redo the AC units in the clubhouse.
That was
because I don't remember that.
2018, before I even started. Oh.
Okay. So wait a minute. So in 2018, the trustees approved AC, but we didn't put it in until 2020?
Correct.
Whoa. Okay.
One of
did
them
that
was
money like roll
year.
Over?
Yes. One of them was installed last year, and the current one was again installed October 14th. The other one is on its way out. It's just not, we're not there yet.
So that has not been approved by the board?
Yes, they've all been approved by the board.
Yes, I remember we approved them by the board because they were close to going out and we wanted the money there. So when they went out, we didn't have to wait a month or two to get the money for like it were a summer, you know, they were just limping along with them. I remember when we did that, they were saying we'd like the money because they're going to be gone and we think they're going to be gone in 6 months. Well, they made them last longer, I'm sure.
But that, so is that the money?
That was basically approval that we had then. Other than that, I don't remember anything. I just knew we approved the money to do it so they could do it more rapidly instead of having the place shut down for a month and a half and no AC.
So was that then brought into the consideration for the 2019 budget? I'm kind of losing you on that one. Was it in this past?
Did the money roll over?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I guess I'm asking. Thank you.
Did we keep that amount of money from 2018 into 2019 and now into 2020 earmarked for ACs?
Yeah, we just had we had excess money that just stayed in the general budget. We didn't actually say we're rolling this amount over to that.
Okay.
That's not the way things should be done.
We're working on those things so they will be earmarked.
That we need those line item numbers in the budget because all of a sudden $11,000 is gone and everybody goes, why? What got spent for $11,000? If it said AC on the line item, we would know it's been approved. The budget's there for it. Now it's being spent. That's the kind of stuff I question.
Yeah. And to follow up with that, I mean, if it was approved back in 2018, it should have been brought up again, that it was going to be done based upon a motion and an approval back in 2018, at least some kind of reference, because you got new board members now that are completely in the dark, not knowing, having known that. It's got to be brought before the board. It's got to be at least referenced and stated and so that it's so noted in your minutes and everything is clean and above board. Yeah. I don't know how else to state these things.
Yeah. My last question was about the dumpsters. Are those two size dumpsters the same size we have now for those areas? Or bigger or smaller?
They're pretty much the same. Waste management never, ever got our accounts straightened out. They had the wrong addresses. Lori has spent hours, literally hours, back and forth with 162 Holiday Park Boulevard, 215 Holiday Park Boulevard. They sent us rebate checks. They never got our accounts straightened out. Isn't that correct, Lori?
Yeah. They sent us rebate.
Lori, unmute yourself.
Yes, that's correct. They send rebate checks and then call the very next day and say our service is going to be stopped for non-payment. So they don't know one hand with the other.
So we're starting fresh with Republic, with the dumpsters that we need. So that's what we ended up with. And up until Friday, Waste Management was going to come and take their dumpsters away. And then Republic, we didn't know if they were going to, when they were going to bring our dumpsters, but we got it straightened out. From the very beginning, we're starting out with a new clean account with Republic.
Okay. Any other comments from the trustees on the manager's report or questions?
I would just like, I don't know if this is the right time to say it or when I may be on a follow-up, but during, I'm starting a follow-up list using the manager's report, almost like a bullet list.
Right.
So that I'm going to add things to the bottom as the manager brings things up, as we discuss them, decisions made or whatever.
Good.
And those are the kind of things that I'm going to bring up the following month. If it's not something that the manager brings up in a report now or the next month to say it's completed or it won't get done to a certain date, that's how I'm going to, and then when it gets done, I'll take it off that list. Things will move up, prioritize, but that's what I think we need to do is, or even add to the manager's report if we think something's necessary to go on there to ask her to report on. Mm-hmm. So that's just my.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. But Bob,
I like it, Sherry. Thank you. That's good organization. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great. Great.
I'm looking at your last one right now.
I've added to it since then.
Are there any other trustee comments? Any public comments? I'd like a motion to approve the manager's report of October 23rd, 2020.
Keith, so moves.
Second.
Russ Livermore. Moved by Keith, second by Russ Livermore. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Bob Shortledge, you there?
Yes, I am.
Ready to give your report on U.S. lawns?
Yes, I am.
Go.
Okay. I've done a lot of research. I'm going to do a presentation here. I'm going to give you all the research that I've gotten. Then after that, I'm going to make a motion. First of all, I'd like to show that when we sent out the RFPs to the different lawn companies, U.S. Lawn sent theirs back. How many employees, crew will you provide? They said 5. When they sent the contract back, how many employees do you provide? It says 4, so they changed the contract right there, the first thing. We've been following them for the last 3 weeks coming in and out of the park. In the last 3 weeks, which is 15 days, but there's 1 day of rain, so that'd be 14 days. There was 1 day of rain. 2 days, they had 2 employees in this park. 4 days, they had 3 employees in this park, and the rest of the time, they had 4 employees. I think because of the short help, that's why they had to rush so much, and that's why a lot of the lawns look like they do. Going to page 3, this report, what I did is I went back for 3 months, August, September, and October. Now, in a 3-month time, that means they would have mowed each lawn 12 times. Everybody's lawn only 12 times. The number of complaints in 3 months is 88 complaints.
Oh.
Did not mow the owner's yard, 33 complaints. Unsatisfactory mowing, 20 complaints. Did not weed whack, 23 complaints. Did not blow, 22 complaints. Property destroyed. Lawn crew made over 50 holes in my new skirting. Broke ceramic planter. Damaged palm trees. Destroyed mailboxes. No one told that they did it. Broke 4 pavers on a new driveway. Broke edge of concrete driveway. Every week I have to wash cars because of the grass. Turning mower around on painted driveway, marking driveway. Broke corner off, $3,000 driveway. Broke water pipe 1 week, ran over it again, cracking it the next week. Weed eater cutting wire to air conditioner, cost $40 to fix it. Snapped off PVC pipe. Ran over and shattered cable box. Skirting and siding damage, knocked blocks down around flower bed, ran over water meter, water flowing everywhere, street signs knocked down, took chunk out of our home, mowing too close. And then I have one that I really like that I'd like to read. I have the author's permission to read this. It's to the owners and Sean. Gentlemen, when you first got the contract to mow the lawn in Holiday Park, you were doing a bang-up job. Then a few months went by and it steadily went downhill. Now I will call it a crappy job. We had to ask you to weed rack around our house, which hadn't been done for weeks. Yes, we sent in the complaint form as instructed. They left grass around our driveway and sidewalk around our house. A five-year-old could have done a better job. My wife and I just weed whacked and blew the grass off. If you want to see how it should be done, please drive by and look. My observation, you need to sharpen the mower blades more often, cut the grass shorter, and slow the mowers down. The races are at Daytona. Show your men how to weed whack properly around a home and blow the grass off, starting at the top of the steps, not blowing it up the steps, and then the driveway. I would appreciate hearing from you. Thank you for your time. Okay, so there is most of, it took me a while to get all that. So what I would like to do, you know, since everybody heard exactly, seen how many complaints they had, which was 88. I read you some of the damage that they did. Right now, with that, I would like to make a motion to send a certified letter to U.S. Lawn that after 30 days, we will no longer be needing their services.
Do we need to put that motion in before we discuss?
Well, yeah. Well, he made a motion.
He made the motion. I will second.
Who is that?
Well, Bob Shortledge made the motion, and Keith seconded it.
Thank you.
All right. Is there any public discussion out there? Any trustee comments?
Yeah, I just like Bob. In 30 days, do you have a backup kind of ready here?
Yes, I do. If you look in your packet,
I did. I just wanted on record. Thank you.
Yeah, I would be making a motion if this goes down for the next motion.
Thank you.
So we have a motion and a second to send a certified letter to U.S. Lawn dispensing with their services 30 days from the, I would assume, from the date of that letter.
Yes,
from the date of the letter, to be composed by the office, obviously. There was a motion and a second. No further comment. Jack, I'm sorry.
Do you know, have they reimbursed the people for this list of damage, property destroyed?
I really couldn't.
Not all of them.
Sherry can answer that question.
Yeah, not all.
Okay. When you look at this for, 88 complaints, it sounds like a lot, but when you think it's 3 months, and you take that by the number of houses that they do, how would you rate this fault record for them?
Okay, I understand what you said, and I thought the same thing, but we have over, 700 and some homes in here? But
700.
But
702, but whatever.
Full-time residents, we probably have less than 200 in here that I would say actually live in here. So 88 complaints out of 200 homes, I'd say that's pretty good.
I want to make a a point too about the damages. It's one thing that they're damaging, but it's another to own it. Go up to the owner. Go, excuse me, look what I did. It was an accident. I'm sorry. But these things are being done. They're not owning up to it. They're not even, this is like the next day the owner goes out, looks at, oh my gosh, what happened? My mailbox is broken. There's water pouring. They have to see what they're doing. And they're not coming up to us. They're not explaining that, look, we had an accident. There's no ownership whatsoever. So I just want to add that.
Do you think that certified letter should specify that they are still responsible for repairing the damages, true, and then list the homes that have not been cleared up?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then you'd have to get together, I guess, Bob, and determine which houses are yet to be satisfied.
Okay, I can go through the 88 complaints and see, and which ones haven't been, and get a hold of them and find out just what's what.
Is it possible for us to hold back the money for the damages?
You get into a legal situation.
I was going to say, that would be a
lawyer question.
Yeah,
question.
Which could battle you, taking to court, and trust me, the money wouldn't be worth it.
Yeah. And should the letter also say, obviously, give the ending date, the 30 time, because you always have an ending date on a contract, believe it or not. And would there be some kind of mention that our last months, because it's not going to be the first of the month to the first of the month, unless we wait until the first of November to send the letter, for a prorated amount that would have to be paid, because we pay it on a monthly basis, correct? Right.
Yeah, but when do we pay it? To the first of the month, the middle, or the end? Lori, do you know?
They're mailed out on the 20th.
So we just made a payment on October 20th.
Yes.
We could prorate if it goes over that.
Well, we'll go. Well.
Do we pay ahead of time so they're paid until November 20th, or was that from September 20th to?
We don't pay ahead.
Okay.
The 1st through the 31st.
So if we pay them November 20th, we would expect services up until and including November 30th? I mean, the 20th? So that,
no, the 30th. That would have
20th.
We pay them, we send it on the 20th, but it covers the payment through the 30th.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. November. Oh, okay. So then that's what the letter should be. Be very specific in the letter.
That's what I was trying to get.
Yeah, you got to be very specific in the letter of when they're expected to mow up until and including November 30th. And
okay. So if we're giving them a 30-day notice, is it kind of like, well, I'm familiar with the rentals, usually from the 30 days from the last month. So the 30 days would end November 30th?
And we'll have it, so we can send it out and have it postmarked October 30th.
And it needs to be sent before the 1st.
Right, yeah. Absolutely. And remember, in November, they're only going to mow two times in that month, because that's part of the month that is twice every other week, not every week.
So the letter should go out October 30th, by October 30th.
Yes, it's got to be.
It's Friday, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's got to be in the mail by the 30th.
Bob, do you think
would be nice if they could be in their hand, but I know it's kind of close.
No, that could be done. Okay, so we had a motion, a second. Any more discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Do you want me to finish with the rest of it?
Yeah, we better.
Okay. What I did, I went ahead, and our number two, when we went out and got the RFPs, I got flawless. I personally went down and talked to them, and personally we went over a contract. And I said, please send me a contract. Let's get together. And we got a contract for 42 cuts, the same cut, the same everything, except for what they have added. As number four, weed control, the pool area only, they will take care of weed control, the flower beds, mulch beds, and around the trees. This may be done by hand or by using herbicides. The pool area only, pruning, all ornamental shrubs and bushes will be pruned to ensure a professionally maintained appearance. Tree trimming will be estimated and proposed separately. And they're also going to be cleaning the ditch once a month also. The ditch once a year. I'm sorry, my mistake. So,
Bob, do you have something we have something dated September 23rd. What are you reading from?
I'm reading from October 2020, an actual contract that I have, if we want to sign it and go from there.
Oh, that's something you.
That's something that was his proposal.
Well, wait a minute. What's that?
Look at his report. It's part of his report.
The back of the report.
In the back of it?
Yes. Yeah. So it will say flawless. Page 5.
I'm sorry. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Got it. Okay.
So that is the actual contract. If we give them a go-ahead, they will sign us exactly the way it stands today. And if you notice, let's see, I'm thinking that the number of of employees they're going to provide, five and maybe six at times in their RFP.
Okay.
And another thing, they are local. They are here, right here in Melbourne.
The thing I have a question on, Bob, if U.S. Lawn stays next month, I see this contract begins November 1st. Is that an adjustment we can make?
I don't see where it... Where
page 5 down to lawn care, grounds, and maintenance proposal. Lawn maintenance... That's just the dormant.
That's an open... It has.
Okay, that's an open... Okay, excuse me, I'm sorry.
For the duration of, and they have it open right now, so we can exactly put in there the date that we need.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Okay. But what I'd like to do, I would like to make a motion to contact Flawless Lawn Care for our services for our lawn care.
Okay.
I second it. Okay, we have a motion and a second to accept Flawless as the lawn service. That would, I guess then you would have to state after November 30th. But, you know, there is the I don't know that it'll happen, but there is a possibility that U.S. Lawns, after they get that letter, will say, see ya. And you might not have lawn service through the month of November.
I have talked to Flawless, and I asked them, I said, could you start on a moment's notice? And she said, yes.
Well, then okay. So when you speak to Flawless, you could let them know that
it's a possibility.
Our intent and up until, but that could change on a dime, which
absolutely.
I have a feeling it might.
Yeah, I'll be calling them when we're done this meeting and talking to her personally.
Okay.
Well, and if that's the case, they will owe us money.
Are you going to be talking to U.S. Lawns or the Flawless?
The Flawless.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to be talking to U.S. Lawns. That's for the
I just wanted to clear that up. Thank you.
Yeah.
Here's my, okay, so on this contract, I don't know who signs this Flawless contract. So we've just approved basically the contract that we're looking at.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So we need to... First of all, we haven't mentioned an amount of dollars. It's on the contract, but folks don't know it. And we need specific dates in there.
Yeah, that's why
we need to make that determination.
Yeah, we need to make that determination for when U.S. Lawn is going to stop when we send in the certified letter. Because it could change. It could change from, from December the 1st to November the 15th. If U.S. Lawn tell us to go take a hike, you know, then they're in breach of the contract, and then what we do from there is up to us. But that's when we fill in this blank space for the duration of.
But we are not paying them for November till the end of November also, which is something we do have too.
Absolutely. We have that option.
Yes, just so everyone knows, the contract is for $195,200.
$800 more than what U.S. Lawn was charging us.
Right. And that's for 42 cuts per year.
Yep.
Okay. So did you make a specific motion to accept Flawless this contract? I'm sorry.
Bob, real one quick. When you say the pool area, you're talking inside the fence by the clubhouse?
Inside the fenced area, they're going to take care of all that.
Okay, that's all I need.
Anybody else to do it?
Nothing out front or anything like that. Just inside that fenced area.
Inside the fenced area, yes.
You said pruning of trees, and those are outside the fence area, right?
No, that should be in the ornamental shrubs and bushes.
I think, Bob, I think they may have meant the actual area in front of the clubhouse too. I'm not quite sure.
No, it says pool area only. And what when I said the tree trimming will be estimated, proposed separately, they're talking about that tree trimming that they also put a proposal in for.
Let's see if we can ask them if they meant the front of the clubhouse, because that is the pool area, just for the heck of it.
Yeah, well, whichever way, I think we can go ahead with what we have and they find that.
Oh, pruning.
Well, I'm pretty sure that, you know, when we talked, she was talking about inside the fenced area.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second, and we have one person, I believe, Lori.
Yeah, we have
hand raised. Johnson.
Somebody that has a question. Johnson.
Go ahead.
Joanne?
Yes.
I have a question.
Well,
I have the public comment for the Johnsons first.
Okay.
Yes, my name is Jim Johnston. I live at 134 Parkview Court. And my question is for Bob or any trustee member. They was the number two company last year when we got the bids to go out. My question is, their bid was like $182,000. Why is it $190,000 this year? Is that just to kill a few weeds?
No, the last year was that bid. And if you look at all the bids from last year, this was a bid that actually was a month ago that we sent out RFPs because their U.S. Lawns contract was coming to an end and October, I think about the middle of October. So we put out six RFPs, and this is the RFP that came back from Flawless, and the U.S. Lawns contract came back was $800 less than this. So don't go by 2020 when I reported last month on the RFPs that we got back.
I also want to add that back in March, U.S. Lawns had sent us a letter that they were increasing in the middle of the contract. They were increasing their fees by $10,700 from the original proposal that they had given us when they first started.
Go ahead. Okay. My second question is, when we did it with Flawless last year, they was pretty much guarantee us a 5% or 10% increase the following year. Is that still the same increase that they told us in our meeting a year ago?
I actually
3%, isn't it? 3%. I read.
Pardon me, say that again.
I thought they put a thing in here about 3% per year.
Yes. 3%. That's automatic.
I thought I read through the contract, but I'm trying to remember.
Don't over talk.
I thought I read 3%.
Of the contract.
Up at the page says
3% after 1 year of data contract.
There it is. Yep. It'll be 3%, which actually just about probably is what everybody normally does.
What the going thing is.
Yeah, it's a going rate.
Okay.
So that'll be automatic every year, 3%.
Yeah, we can always negotiate.
Okay.
We're going to have to get a new contract every year for approval. So we would ask.
Right, exactly. So
we're writing
this contract agreeing to a 3% increase next year, but before we sign that contract, you can negotiate also. I'll repeat what I've said for the last, I don't know how many times. Going back, it's probably 8 to 10 years now when we were going to seek outside services. Then, 3 bids, not one of them was under $250,000. 10 years ago. That's all I have to say. Okay, so
that's exactly why we turned them down 3 times.
And I'll tell you what I did a month ago was we went out and I got four RFPs. And when it comes up for contract again in 2021, I will definitely go and do the same thing, send RFPs as many contractors as I can get, and then we'll bring it back to the board and see what we can do from there.
Thank you.
Russ Livermore has a
question. I just have one quick question. Item number 2 on payment for services. On the second paragraph, it says equal monthly consecutive payments equal to the following amount annually. $195,200 payable within 30 days of monthly invoice of $195,200. So we don't want to pay $195,000 every month.
Oh, good.
Well, it says divided by 12.
Where is it?
Well, I do see the 12, but you see what I'm saying. It says a monthly invoice of that amount with a slash 12 on it.
That's me dividing.
Didn't want to confuse the contractor.
Gotcha.
So you think that should be changed, or does it speak for itself?
I don't know. You tell me.
Let's see. Well, the slash 12 tells you that it's divided by 12.
But I'll tell you what. The words that mess up, though.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Instead of her having a slash 12, I'll just have her change it to where it's exactly how much per month. Is that
satisfying? It says that would be more.
Bob, just put behind that equation in parentheses the amount you're going to be paying each month.
All right.
It does say equal monthly consecutive payments equal to the following amount annually, and that's where it's spelled out, $195,000. So the annual amount is represented, and then it equal payments divided by 12. It's
I'll just
clear.
Have her put that. I'll just have her put that behind that parenthesis. The parenthesis, how much per month?
A little confusing.
Yep. Okay.
Thank you.
Any further comments from the public? Any further comments from the trustees?
I would just like to add one thing, which I think is something we should address at the next board meeting, or possibly after they're on board, if they're voted in, is they will charge $42.50 per yard for mulching the park. That's a very, very good price. So probably for next board meeting, though, I just wanted to bring that up.
Say that again. $42 per home?
No.
No.
The replacement of the mulch is $42.50 per yard.
Oh, per yard.
Per yard.
I was going by the yard, you know, my front yard, my backyard.
Oh, no. And the going price is usually between
$50 and $55.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a really good.
Okay.
She said she's going to work with us as much as possible and everything.
Doesn't Holiday Park still have to pay whatever the mulch is on top of the $42.50?
No, that includes the mulch. That includes everything.
That's
$42.50 per yard.
Regular mulch, pine nuggets would be at additional cost.
Now we're voting on that mulch thing later. That's not part of the contract, right? No.
I'm sorry.
Let's go on with the contract.
Yep.
Okay, one more time. Any further trustee comments?
No.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor to accept Flawless as the next contractor to do the lawns. And we had a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion carried. Then the next thing on the agenda is the tree trimming. Again. I think we're about 8 weeks into this.
Okay, so we have RFPs we're looking at, correct?
Yeah, I have a question about that.
Really?
Shocker, isn't it? I would have a question.
Go right ahead.
Okay, well, first of all, we all got and received this two-page recitation on when it's appropriate to have a request for proposals, why it's appropriate, why it's too cumbersome, what blah, 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 blah. You know what I want to do with this? That's what I want to do with that. I think that is ridiculous. Because, nope, I don't, you do a request, you said it in, Cindy, I'm sorry, whatever. We voted to have requests for proposals prepared and sent. It's the only true way we get to know how they're bidding and what they're bidding on. Now, as far as the request for proposal that went out for the tree trimming, that request for proposal is almost word for word the proposal that we got from Palm Bay Tree. So, my question to Cherie is, are you really looking to have all of that done? Okay, that's what the request for proposal has, because that's not what originally I thought you were looking for. I thought it was for the trimming of oak trees and palm trees, but we now have like the palm trees, Australian pine, and you've got it word for what Palm Bay tree has. Canopies thinned and lowered, branches lifted to 15 feet, Australian pines hanging over 190 feet, cut back to 20 feet, and to haul away debris and blah, blah, blah. So, where do we go from here? Because I'm really confused.
I'm sorry, did you... I think that the Australian pines need attention. We've had some pretty serious limbs fall down, large. It's damaged the fence back there. Not a huge amount, but I think it needs to be taken care of. It's not
okay.
Huge.
So the request for proposal that you sent out, requesting all of that work, is what you expect to be done, because we certainly don't have that, I don't believe. I don't believe that's what Alpine is still thinking, because he's only, well, we can go over one
well,
at a time.
Like I said, Joanne, it's not a huge area. Bob and myself and U.S. Lawns actually walked the area, and that's the smallest amount and the smallest area that needs attention. I feel that while we're doing the others, the palms and the oak trees, we should pay attention to that as well. Bob, what are your thoughts?
I'm a little confused right now. Tell me exactly what we're talking about.
Okay.
Trimming of trees.
When we walked with U.S. Lawns and we went over into the grove and looked at the fence line and looked at the Australian pines, and we saw a few limbs that may need to be cut back for safety purposes.
Okay, well, my first question to you was, we need to get a hold of Palm Bay and find out if we're allowed to trim on the other side of the fence or not. Is our fence on the fence line, or is there an easement where the trees on the other side of the fence is going to be ours? Because we can't go trimming trees that aren't ours.
Of course.
So that was the first question.
Of course.
But any tree that overhangs onto our property, it's ours to do with what we want.
Yes.
Right. But some of these trees, the limb is just the limbs, and they're 40 and 50 foot high that need trimmed. And the thing of it is, and just like the lawn person or the tree man said, if you trim some of these out, it's going to get top heavy, and maybe we're not sure what direction. Be careful.
Well, my whole purpose is just, it's safety. Aesthetics, of course, we don't want them to look all mangled. But having seen those limbs fall and crush that fence the way they did.
My concern, as much as the trees hanging over, are the ones that grow through the fence. Now, you ask if our fence is on the property line. It is not. I haven't had any official thing, but if you go back in behind that fence, you'll see where the old fence back when they had that hurricane back in 2006, where the fence used to be, and it went right through trees that grew up to that. Instead of them going out and taking the tree out and getting the fence back where it was supposed to, they just brought it ahead in front of the trees that were there. And we're going to get the same situation with that fence line in a few years if somebody isn't cutting back those twigs that are growing up through the fence, and then they grow into the fence. So, I mean, there needs to be something done back there, not just the bigger one. Some of those trees are hanging over back in 2011, I was there, that tornado went through there, and it weakened a lot of those trees, and we lost, and there's still some of those weak ones up there that fall over. So, I mean, they need to be looked at. I don't know if we're voting on them now, but it needs to be a concern.
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, the first thing we've got to do is find out if that is our land. If that is our land, we can cut those trees down that are a danger to our park. But if it's not our land, we could probably get sued. So like I said, the first thing we got to do is find out, is it our property? If it is.
Well, and there again, is it our property if it's been in the other guy's property for 10 or more years?
Abs- That's why I said we need to contact Palm Bay or a surveyor, do something to find out to see if we are legally able to cut those down, because they do need cut down.
Hey, Bob, you have some of the old maps of the park. I have some that show that fence line is supposed to be back further. That fence line is supposed to be straight, right down from that corner back up to the wall.
If you can put that in my box, I'll gladly take a look at it.
Okay,
yeah, I'll drop them off to you.
All right. We're talking about the Australian pine trees. Is that correct?
Yeah, the Australian pine.
All right, this all started way before Australian pine trees, though. The discussion came up about the oak trees and the palm trees and trimming those back. And now that you're going to have to look into property line and getting approval for that, I'm going to say I think it should be two separate items, because we have let this oak tree thing go for now months and months. And it's because proposals aren't done. It's because we don't get the right kind. It just goes on and on. That's why a request for proposal is so important for us to be knowledgeable enough to vote on these things. I'm talking to myself because I can't believe that we're still going through this.
I thought these RFPs were just for common areas, not for back there. That's what I was thinking. Am I wrong?
Let's concentrate on what we have and what we need to do, and that is with the oaks. That is with the palms, and we had a good clarification on how to thin out the palm trees, not the hurricane cuts. Bob, it was, what did we say?
Yeah, I was talking to the arborist that they sent, Flawless sent over. I told him, he was saying about a 10 and 2 cut. I said, no, I've talked to arborists before, and they said a horizontal cut, which means a 9 o'clock and a 3 o'clock. It's not like a hurricane cut. It's the horizon cut. Anything from the horizon down should be cut off, which is dead. Anything from the horizon up stays. Perfect. And that we talked about that in all of the common areas. And then the oak trees should be thinned out where they're widowmakers, the logs that's going to come down because of wind or anything like that. And any dead trees that are in there should come out at the same time.
Okay.
And thinning out. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. Go ahead. You're not done. RFPs that we're looking at right now. If we need to get trees done, we need to make a decision today and about one of these. The three RFPs that we're looking at, two of them are the same. One of them is different.
Yeah,
it is not the same that was sent out, and it was sent out apparently much earlier, perhaps, than these other ones, because it was asked to be returned by October 9th. These other ones were asked to be returned by the 21st, and they are different. So I don't know if technically we can vote on this, because we don't have three exact same RFPs. And if we wanted to make the decision today and work on these two that are the same, is it possible to narrow their focus on the oaks and the palms and say, yes, you've got the Australian pines in this contract, but since it's a daily rate, don't work on Australian pines right now, because we've got to figure out the fence line. I don't even know what an Australian pine looks like, so I'm just talking now. But I don't have them work in that area. Work on the ones that we know need to be done, these oaks and palms and 95 and whatever in the common areas, and be exactly done with it for now.
Exactly. I'd love that. Yes.
Okay. Well, these RFPs, you got to remember, the RFP is not a contract. When we get a contract from them, we could actually tell them this is exactly what we want out of the RFP. Now, when Sherry and I were going around, we were going around just to common areas, and we were saying what we want to thin out the canopy, we want to take away the dead, and then we want to go the 12 to 15 foot high. Now, and Sherry and I also figured out, instead of trying to get a contract to do it all and them saying it's 25 35 45,000, is do it on a daily basis. How many men you're going to have in the crew? How many workers you're going to have here? How many trucks you're going to have here? How many days you propose it's going to take? Which, you know, you cannot go into one of those common areas and look up and say, well, this is a $5,000 area, because you don't know what you're going to run into once you get in that bucket. And
okay. Bob, can I just show you something? And I'm going to hold this up. I don't know if you can see this or not. Yeah. This is what Alpine bid on. This is his map of two areas. It's area one and two. Yep. That's the common area that he bid on. I thought everybody was going to be bidding on that same area only. And we were talking about oak trees and palm trees only. That's what the RFP should have gone out for. We don't have that. We've got a per day from Alpine of $950 per day to trim trees. You've got Flawless who wants $18,000, 12 days, comes out to $28,000. You've got Tree Service who wants $25,000. I mean, I don't know what else to say anymore. I really don't.
Well, what you actually have here is if you look at Alpine,
yeah,
he wants if we go with just a daily rate, say, listen, we just want to go with a daily rate. That way we can monitor you daily, tell you exactly what we want done daily. And Alpine is at $1,050 a day.
Right.
Comes out to $14,700.
Okay.
If they do all those things, he's
saying 14 days it's going to take for I forget how many people and stuff, but it's going to be 14,200. That's for 14 days. Then you have Flawless, which is going to be charging us $2,400 per day, and they said the minimum of 12 days comes out to $28,800. The 15 days, which comes out to $36,000, and then you have Tree Service, which they're saying they're going to come in here in 1 week with two.
We've got all that. What are we going to do? What are we doing? Anybody?
Here's my vote.
Here's my suggestion. Yes, Cindy.
I have a comment to make. We've already had Tree Service in once. Now we're discussing the second time. Even though none of us want to spend this type of money for tree trimming, number one is safety, whether it's property.
Oh, it has to be done.
It has to be. But stop and think about the fact also, if you minimize right now what's going to be done this time, and then in another couple months we have to have them back in again, you're still going to end up spending even more money the more times you have them come in, because they're going to be hauling a lot of equipment in. So my suggestion would be, bite the bullet, get it all done now.
Yep.
If over a certain period of time you want to save yourself potentially a couple more $1,000. My opinion.
Okay, so if we're going to do it that way and you want everything basis, then would you be looking at, I'm talking to all the trustees, would you be looking at Alpine who wanted it? I have $950. Why do I have something different?
I don't know. I got $1,050.
Yeah.
That's what I have.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I have. Well, that was a previous one. Well, they upped it by the time from 1 week to 2 weeks later.
Another good reason to get it done now.
Yeah. Well, it's just. I mean, this is why. Well, I'm not going into it anymore. I'm tired of this. But their rate is $1,050. But I can tell you, Alpine is not planning on doing it all. So if you want to get them on a day by day basis, you better let them know that that's what we're going to ask them to do.
We will be monitoring this. I spoke to Bob, and the first day by noon, we'll have a pretty good idea of what their day is going to be like, how much they're getting done, and so forth. We tried and we racked our brains to figure out if there was any other way to price it. With hundreds, literally hundreds of trees, it was very difficult to go and just assess every individual tree. So we thought
it has to be done. I mean,
that's why we thought on a daily basis.
3 years ago.
I think a daily basis is fair for us and them. We can monitor them. We can tell
Keith, what do you have? Do you have the budget with you? What did we budget for tree trimming and all that stuff for this year? Not that it makes a difference, because we have to get it done anyway, but it'd be kind of interesting.
Jerry, what did we have? Let me get my paper out.
No, I have it right here.
Yeah.
Okay. Why are you looking up
the paper? Mostly the lawn thing is what we were working on.
Okay. So, all right, while they're looking that up.
While they're looking that up, 3 years ago, we had Alpine come in here and do the common areas. We didn't do it as extensive as what we want. But at that time, I worked with Dave a lot. I was there just about daily helping him, not showing him, look, blah, blah, blah. And he pretty much well listened to me. And I'm willing, for the time that I'm not fishing, to be down there and help and direct him exactly what we want to make things safe in this park.
I feel he's someone we can trust.
Yeah. We've used him for years and years. And
I dealt with him personally when I first moved into the park. He was very fair, and I contacted three different people and had all three of them come out to our yard, and we used him. I just feel that's probably a safe thing to start with him, but I do feel we need to, I don't know who said it, Joanne, whoever said separate that fence. I don't know what the fence area you're talking about is.
Oh, it's all the way.
We're worried about the line, the boundary line.
That's over by Orange Grove. That's over by the Grove, Sherry, where the newer area by Mr.
Okay.
And everything. In the back there, we've got a fence, and there's these very, very, very tall pine trees.
My suggestion is let's work about the common areas right now while Sherry researches about the fence line and what we can do with the trees behind it. And then if we can, then at the end of whatever he's done in the common area, then we can go over there and address that issue.
All right. Are you saying Sherry or Cherie?
Cherie, I'm sorry. Cherie. My daughter's name is Sherry, and that's how I'm drawing. So Cherie researches.
That's how you that. Cherie, not me.
Okay, so we're going to make a motion then to accept Alpine's bid at $1,050 per day to do the common areas of oaks and palms. And what?
I was just going to move. I was going to make a motion.
You said so moved? Well,
yeah, that's what I was going. I was just going to say you. I thought you were doing the motion. I thought you were done. So I'm just saying I so moved.
Well, I'm never done.
No,
I can keep on talking. You know, wait. We haven't gotten to 8A yet.
No, okay. I was just waiting for you to breathe, Joanne.
Hey, I'm Sicilian. You have no idea how I'm going to be getting. Wait till the hand motion starts.
Okay.
That's yet to come. Okay. All right. So that's a motion I'm making to accept Alpine at $1,050 per day to do the common areas, and will be supervised.
Yes.
By Mr. Shortledge.
Hey, do you need a motion or a second now?
That's the motion.
I've seconded the motion.
Russ Livermore seconded the motion. Okay, is there any public comment out there? Any trustee comments?
I have a comment. As I look at the Alpine proposal, they're talking about two and number one here, trimming of all live oak, cabbage palm, and Australian pine. So I don't think we should rule that out.
Well, Jack, we already decided that we were going to put the Australian pines on for another RFP.
Well, he's doing it by the day. You can hold that off.
That's right.
By the time.
Right, that area can be way to the end.
Within the next 2 weeks, I don't think he's going to be done and through. We have the next meeting. If you've looked into the,
boundary.
The line, then. We'll have something to go by, but right now we know what he's going to be doing.
I just want to add something else in. Anytime our flags are down, Dave is here with his bucket to fix the flags.
He does a lot of things for us for free.
He helped with the gazebo. I mean, anytime we have an issue. So, and he's also a very good tree man. So
and good to work with.
Very good.
Yeah, but let's get this started and see if we can get ASAP. Although we're going to have a lot of rain this week. Okay.
We had
a motion, second, and the only comment was from Jack. Any other comments? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. That was number eight. And now we have 8A, the one that's going to give me total agita. Okay, it's discussion regarding the rec hall, whether to keep it open, whatever, and our future meetings. I have personally been told by a card player herself that twice a week she and her friends play cards and they do not wear masks. They also complain that the tables aren't dusted off to their perfection. The pool players, Cherie, you got them on a good day, because I've also been told that they put on that mask when they walk in, drop it later on, and just hee 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 for the rest of the night. I don't know.
Yeah.
I did check with the bingo players. Last night they had 23 players, all wear masks, two at a table. They're increasing in number, and they do have guests coming in.
Ooh.
So we have to decide what to do. Now, first of all, I have a couple things, because I've got the floor now and I've really got diarrhea of the mouth. There's a lot. There's an expression. It says there's a lot to be said for a person who wears a mask. There's a lot to be more to be said about the person who doesn't wear the mask. That's all I have to say about that. A couple of weeks ago, someone's commented that, you know, we're all adults. We can monitor ourselves. Well, I don't think so. Because sensibility and respectability does not come inherent in everybody. And apparently we don't have it in everyone here. So that's another thing that really ticks me off. Okay. I think we have, okay, I've got to get myself together here. I have more papers than I know what to do with. Okay. There is on the website from our sister park a letter that was written by the chairman of their board as well as the president of their homeowners association. I think everyone should take time to read it. It was sent to you if you took time to print it out. Because we were also asked a couple of weeks ago by someone, what do we think is our fiduciary responsibility? And there's something written in this letter. I could not have said it better. I wish I could have written it. It was beautifully worded. It's only two lines, and I'm going to read it. Because for me, I'm only speaking for me. This is what I feel is my responsibility. The Board of Trustees has an obligation to protect the health and welfare of our residents, and has the legal authority to close those facilities which the board finds could be a danger to the health of our residents. They said they do that reluctantly and only to protect their residents. And they vow to open the facilities as conditions warrant. They're in pool, which is monitored like nothing you'd ever want to see, because it would never fly over here for some reason. So I'm going to come to all the trustees I'm going to ask each of you, because I think I can only, as I said, I spoke for myself, but what do you all feel is your responsibility for the park and for the way things are? Anybody?
Yes. I have a comment.
Sure.
I read the letter also from our sister park, and it was written very well.
Yes, it was.
As trustees, we don't want the members of our community mad at us for a decision that we make, but understand that on the exact same plane, we may have no option but to shut it down. People are disrespecting the rules, and that's fine if you say, you know, it's our decision. It's okay if we take that risk. That's fine if that's just that small group, and you're never going to be around anyone else in this park. That's not a true statement. You're going to be around other people.
this, not only that, but we have what do I call them? Seasonal residents who are starting to come back. I don't know what state they're coming in from. And yeah. I know this past weekend we had visitors because they were wearing bikinis and they weren't our residents. I know.
Very true.
Okay, they were wearing bikinis and we had little ones about 3 feet high in diapers. I know some of you do, but whatever. I'm just saying. So we're getting the visitors in now too. Oh, Cheryl, grow up. I'm not through yet. I'm going to keep on. I'm on a roll. But so now we have, as I said, there were visitors from last night in playing bingo. Should we be saying that we don't know where they're coming from? We don't know who they've been around. Again, I'm going to back to what I feel is my responsibility. And if people are not going to follow rules, then I don't know what else to say. But I definitely think one of the rules that we have to emphasize is no visitors playing pool, playing cards, playing bingo. Residents only. That's my personal opinion. So I'd like to hear from the rest of the board. Beverly?
I would like to say, and you know, I'm one that I wanted things open last spring. I was one that said we should be able to take care of ourselves. But I'm also one, after I had traveled all summer and followed the rules for New York, masks are important. It is what we need to do. And if we've made the decision, and people say, oh, you can't take that, you can't make me wear a mask, I pay my dues, I can do whatever I want in here. That's not true. We, the trustees and the district manager, make decisions for this park. We are a special deeded restricted community. We can make the rules the way we see fit. We decided last spring, we made a list of what things were going to be happening. If you're inside that clubhouse, you damn well better have a mask on. If I walk inside that clubhouse and some resident walks in without a mask, I will tell them to leave. That has to be done. If you're outside wandering around, you don't need a mask on. Don't get near people. 6 feet apart, wear your mask inside that clubhouse. I'm ready, and I haven't even been in the clubhouse to do anything anyways, but you know what I'm saying? You don't wear your mask, you have to leave. You continue, or someone else doesn't wear their mask, shut the lights off, lock the doors, we're done. Because, like Joanne said, read that letter, safety comes first. And every single person in this community is at some type of risk only because of our age. And then we have others in the community who are very vulnerable. And my husband is one of them. We are very careful. It just has to be done, people. I mean, do we really have to vote and tell? I don't understand what the problem is. You go to the grocery store, you go to Lowe's, you go, every single employee there has a mask. They wear 8 hours a day so that you can go shop there.
I just want to wear your mask. Yeah.
Pardon me?
When they come into the building, they come up to that window. If they don't have a mask, they are asked to leave the building. We Good. Do have the disposable masks, and we offer that to them, the mask to them first. And if they give us a hard not.
And it's hard to monitor the card room or the pool room for whatever amount of time it's open. But that's our job. That's your job, Cherie. We as staff and trustees are responsible that everyone's following the rules. It's not just a mask rule. It's every other rule we've had long before COVID.
I stay late on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Tuesdays are a little more difficult. Thursdays, they wear their masks. Tuesdays, they do not. And well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to suggest, if they're going to continue, we do have them on camera. And we can put the video of them playing pool on 732. I don't know what else to do other than kick them out of the building or shut the clubhouse down.
We don't need to do that. We just need to decide, are we going to have the safety of every single resident, not just some of the residents, but every single resident first and foremost?
Absolutely.
And if they still are not going to listen to the CDC guidelines, and they're not going to listen to what we have requested before coming onto someone else's property, please have a mask on, or at least ask permission to approach without having a mask. And the homeowner will give you the answer. I'm at high risk. This has been repeated for how many weeks now? And still I can have people just walk right up with no mask on whatsoever. So
that's because you have friends.
It's really annoying.
I stayed all day and not a damn person comes to my door. Okay. Except QVC delivery.
I have a comment.
Okay, and then I'm going to make a suggestion what we might think about doing. Go ahead.
For a while there, Sherry was asking me that if I would take in, you know, when I was leaving the pool at night to please check the fellows in there and see if they had their mask on. Several times I stopped, I opened the door, and I'd holler at them to put their mask on. And I did this for quite a while, and because I go down to the pool every night. And then finally, this one evening, I had this man be the nastiest man that I've ever had talked to me. In the way he talked to me, I just said, I ain't doing this anymore. I don't need to be humiliated by this man. And I told Sherry about it, and she says, okay, Bev, you know, if you can't do it, you can't do it. I says, no, I don't need anybody like that. But as far as the pool goes, I still oversee the pool very well. That's one of my jobs. And if I see anybody that's doing something, or kids or whatever it could be, I try to make everything safe. And as far as the card player girls, most of the girls have gone to their homes and have played the cards at home. So there's just that small group. And I did start playing with them when they first started. And when they had five people playing at the table, I said, no more for me. We only had just the four of us, and it was okay. So,
you remember back in school when the teacher said, you do that one more time, they're punishing the whole class?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. I think that's going to have to happen pretty soon.
It's time.
The only thing I could suggest is we put up, and I mean a big sign, that the failure of wearing masks will force the trustees to close down the entire rec hall.
And I would say we do that at the moment, not wait till the next meeting and decide. If it happens, the permission is done now. That's what we do.
And also, no visitors, no outside visitors permitted in the rec hall. Period. Right. Period. The end.
What about the pool?
I personally say no. I don't think should have any outside visitors in here.
That's the way
It's hard, but you're going to have enough visitors coming down. You got your seasonal people coming in, and they're still going to have family coming down. Family's a different thing. You can't stop your family from coming in.
I had a whole family come in the clubhouse this morning. Mother, father, two sons walked right through the lobby. They had masks on, but it was a whole family going through the kitchen, going through the dining hall.
Just to look around?
Yeah.
They shouldn't be in there.
Just to look around.
Oh,
I'm just saying this is just one incident, but now that people are coming back to the park, we've got a serious
might happen more.
We have to deal with it now.
Okay, so what's the bottom line then? Oh, we have Mary.
Read comments.
Mary Cork has a comment.
Yep. Go ahead, yep. Mary.
I don't know how you're going to control the pool, because I helped Bev and Diane Russo, and the comments that were coming from people that you couldn't go in the pool. So I don't know how you're going to stop everybody, because they were belligerent. They're saying that you cannot force us. You don't have the right to tell us we can't use the pool. Freeze. I didn't hear you. What?
Right, you were frozen for a moment, Mary.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead. You're good now.
No. So Bev can attest to this. They were telling us it's none of our business. We can't do it. You can't sign anything. Nobody. Am I right, Bev?
That's right. Yep.
So I don't know how you're going to stop it. I mean, people would just, everything just started off.
Of course, it's being sensible and respectful.
Oh, I understand. I totally understand. But
here's what the sister park does with the pool. And they say they have two separate pools for two separate areas, not like we do, two next to each other. And they write, it's probable that we will continue to permit both pools to be open for a limited number of residents, currently six at a time per pool, or those subject to change, but prohibit sunbathing at the pool or using any park furniture. Residents can bring their own chairs and remove them when they leave. We cannot promise at this time that those rules would be relaxed during the, quote, season, end quote. They're very strict. Their whole rec hall is closed. They have nothing going on. Yes. Nothing.
I agree with you 100%, but have you been to the pool just to walk through when there's a lot of people in there?
And
you
try to tell them? Absolutely not.
Okay. That's what I'm saying is, and then if you say something, then they say, who the do you people think you are? That's all.
Well, not if you have signage.
If you have what?
We've had signage. We started out really good with the wristbands, with the signing of the paper. Yes. And you all stopped it. It was really working out well, I thought. We had volunteers, Bev, Mary.
Diane Russo helped.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I think we should have continued it. We were off to a really good plan together there.
Okay.
Joanne, I have some more comments, please.
I just wanted to ask about the laundry room. That's another room where there's people in there all the time. And I mean, I know it's open to the outside. I know it's crazy, but what can I say?
The laundry room? Do you have a pile-up in the laundry room?
Oh, yeah. When you're playing pool and there you see people that, you know, it's a meeting place and they talk while they're doing the laundry in and out.
There's only a limited number of washing machines. How many people could be
It out that you don't have to bring it up at another time. That is all.
Okay. I'm just going to suggest we put up big signs. And if things are not any better by our next meeting, we have got to I'm sorry to say, we have to close everything down.
Okay, Joanne, I have another Connie. Chrissy.
That would be my suggestion. Sure.
Okay, Connie Chrisley, 155 Holiday Park. I'm calling here about bingo. Bingo is every Sunday from 2 to 5. We all wear our masks. Yesterday, there was only one person from outside the park that was at bingo, and she is a resident's daughter who has come all summer. There is no strangers at bingo. And I can't see you shutting bingo down. It's the only activity we have. That's it. And I have a husband on oxygen, so if anybody is worried about catching it, it would be me, because he would never survive it. I'm sorry. I'm very passionate. I need to have some activity at least once a week. Thank you.
Okay, Annette, you're next.
I agree with Cece on the bingo. Everybody does everything really well. Bingo, very controlled and all. As far as the pool, I just wanted to have input. Just with the being outdoors also, in the pool area, it's less likely. You're not confined by four walls to worry about getting the virus. It's out in the open. People are there. Those that have been grouped together all these months know one another. If you close the pool, I have gone up maybe twice so far. If you close the pool, that's basically, besides bingo, the only other thing most people have in this park to do. And now the weather's getting comfortable. It's not as hot as it's been. The people that are going up there go up regularly. If you're that concerned, well, then don't allow visitors in the pool. Nobody from the outside. Unfortunately, I don't want any of the seasonal residents to take offense, but if you talk about the seasonal residents coming back, if you think about it, just as such as somebody whose son and granddaughter come visit or something, They're just as much visitors to the park at this point in time as anybody else off the street, because they've been in another part of the country and they're coming in. So they would be considered visitors right now because they're coming in from other areas. They have not been in the park around all everybody. But if you shut the pool down, you're really going to really, you're going to get a lot of people very upset because that's all that's left. All the activities are gone.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you short because we're really, it's almost 3 o'clock already. All right, thank you for your input. Appreciate it all. I think we'll just leave it that we put up a bigger signs. I'll get together with the office about the signs and how they should read, and we'll put those up. As far
maybe we
as
should get the word out that it will be watched in the billiard
room. Yeah, everybody's going to. Yeah. As far as our meetings are concerned, unless we're told otherwise, I believe we have to have our meetings in person starting in November, unless the state doesn't mandate us not to, which I really hate doing. But I would like to also continue it with Zoom because I don't think we have, I think more people get us that way right now. But if we're in the rec hall, I would have already have a retired nurse who has volunteered to take everyone's temperature prior to entering. They'd have to wear a mask and there will be no tables set up. They will only be chairs. And of course, trustees have to say a distance also probably two at a table. But if that changes, I'll let you know. But I haven't heard any change. And I, as far as I know, it's as of November 1st.
Well, Joanne.
Can I just?
On one comment, I agree with you. I like the idea of staying with Zoom. Yeah. My problem would be the volume or the audio going from one computer to another. We're all going to have to get earpieces or something where we hear it ourselves, you know.
Okay.
And but we'll have, I don't know, when we start talking, we'll put our computer in another. If there's something we can do about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not
either. Would be my only concern, because I do like the Zoom in the fact that more people can see us and we have a little better control, I think.
Yeah, I do too. Okay.
I just want to tell you, I called the city of Palm Bay to find out what they've done about their meetings and starting them up in person. They never ended in-person meetings.
Oh, wow.
The city of Palm Bay has always had in-person meetings. They've had at least one council person in chambers for every single meeting. The rest of it was on, well, they don't use Zoom, but whatever the program is they use. But one councilman was in the chambers for the public to show up. They were asked to wear masks. There were some meetings no one showed up, which is fine. So that may be something that we could propose, that only one or two trustees be in the clubhouse and the rest of you, us, whatever, whoever's not there, be still on Zoom.
Well, Sherry, what they did, the last meeting I went to, is they had them in a different room. And then in another room was where the public could sit. And they had the seats distanced. And then they had a
social distance.
So they were not in the same room, but they were in, it was in person, but just not in the same room.
Oh, that's not what she told me, but okay.
No, I was there. I saw it. And,
okay. Well, so is that something that we need to consider? Or do we want all nine of us in there?
Well,
if we had to.
Pardon me, Cindy?
I think you're supposed to be there. If they mandate us, we have to be there inside. But I don't think there's any reason why we can't also, I don't know. I'm technically challenged. Can you do that and still do Zoom? And
the law is, when it comes to that, the only people, once he lifts that ban of Zoom meetings or video meetings, are at the state. And we are not at the state. So I would check into those Zoom meetings before you do them, if he lifts it.
You mean, even though we would be present and have a meeting, it's in addition to.
It would go back to the way it was before. There are no video meetings allowed, not unless you're at the state level. We are not at the state level. So if he lifts that ban, we cannot have Zoom. I love it for the people that aren't here. Trust me.
And that's, we need to keep Zoom. We need to keep Zoom for the people who don't live in the park year round.
I understand exactly what you're saying, but the law is that once he lifts that ban, you can't have any more Zoom.
But does it mean you can't have it, or it's an addition?
It can't be the only one
in-person meeting.
I think it's just that it can't be the only one. I'm gonna ask. We're gonna check into that for sure. I will let everybody know before the next meeting how we're gonna proceed. But I think we have to look into that and call somebody up in Titusville.
Yeah, Tallahassee. I'll let you know.
Tallahassee.
Yeah, Tallahassee.
You can call Titusville too if you want. Say hi. I don't care. Call me. I'll give you an answer. Okay.
Well, I have another comment. Karen Foot.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Hey, I just want y'all to know, I don't know if you looked at it, but there's only 30 people on Zoom. There was only 41 last time. Yeah. That's not a lot of people.
Nope, it's not.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
There's never that many.
But more people may come to it if they feel comfortable, because a lot of people don't do Zoom. So
that's what I'm saying.
If they know meetings happening in the clubhouse, there may be 60 people in the clubhouse.
Well, we're gonna have to.
I
don't know how we're gonna control how many people go into the clubhouse.
There's never been 60.
Well, you're gonna have a limited number of chairs. That's one thing. You put your chairs 6 feet apart, and they have to have a mask. When those chairs are full, nobody else gets to come in.
Yep, that's right.
What else are you going to do? We've got to keep social distance.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, so I'd like to finish up that subject. Unless there's any other comments from the public? Any more trustee comments? Okay, follow up.
One question from me, Joanne. So are we going to maintain the same hours open and close?
About.
That's what this started with, is open and close hours.
you mean the rec hall?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't think that's changed. We didn't discuss hours. I think that stays the same. Actually,
so this was just a comment section.
Are we going to have to go back to a 7 p.m. meeting with the, if we go back into the rec hall? I don't know how we would do that and have a Zoom meeting also.
Right. I kind of like them during the day.
Oh, I love the Zoom thing now that we got the hang of it, but.
Well, we could still Zoom and just have one computer that would record the meetings, which works out really well for us.
We have to make a few phone calls, and I'll get back to all of the trustees through email, and I'll give you everything up to date. We'll make a few phone calls. I'll be in the office. I'll talk to you about it. I want to get on with this meeting because it's really dragging again. Anybody else? Okay, for the follow-up, we went over the Palm Bay homes. The power washed home, Cherie, did we get any more money in?
I sent out a registered letter to one of those. And Lori, did we get any more money in? We do have one household that is making payments. I know it sounds a little.
Yeah, I know, but what are we going to do about trying to collect? What can we do? Anything?
Well, we're going to still work with them, and I'll give them another week or so, and then we start putting the liens on. I'll go to the courthouse and just put the liens on. That's all we can do. The power washing was done, and.
The striping, we said we were going to rent a machine, but of course we had rain all this week, last week, and doesn't look good for this week either, so I guess we'll have to put that off for a couple of weeks.
I'm monitoring the weather. Hopefully we're going to run into the dry season real soon here. As soon as we do, we'll get the machine in here and we'll start.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, Cherie, about Thanksgiving Day. We used to stay open because we had a dinner there, and then soon after that we closed up and we locked up. What are we going to do this Thanksgiving? There is.
I'm asking the board to please close the building Thanksgiving Day. just like with Christmas.
Do you, okay. Are you asking that today and now?
Yes, I am.
How lucky I brought that up. Okay. All right. Would anybody like to make a motion to have the...
I'll make a motion, Keith. I'll make a motion that the rec hall be closed on Thanksgiving Day.
Second.
Jack, did you second that?
Yes.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to close the facilities for the all day on Thanksgiving Day. Any comment? Trustees, any comment? Hearing none, take a vote.
What? Was there going to be, I have a comment. There was talk about some residents said something about cooking for those who may need a Thanksgiving dinner, since we're not going to be in the clubhouse. Would it be possible to use some of the ovens in the kitchen during on Thanksgiving Day to cook for takeout meals?
No. We're not using any facility. We cleaned and we're done. It's going to remain that way. We're not going to use the facilities at all. Sorry about that. Okay. There's a motion and a second to close the rec hall all day on Thanksgiving Day. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that's it. Anybody have anything else? They trustee comments that you'd like to bring up? Oh, I have one more thing. Sorry, I knew I had one thing. You didn't think you'd get in the way that quickly, did you? Okay. And it has to do with the district manager's job description. It was discussed a few weeks ago, and it was mentioned that there was a paragraph added to it, which was never approved. The only district manager's job description that is in effect is the one dated November 25th, 2019. That other one, don't know who added it, why it was added, but it was never approved, and therefore, that's what I do with that one. That's gone. Okay?
Yeah. All right. Good job, Jerry.
Yeah. All right. With that, if anybody has any trustee comments? Hearing none, I need
a lot.
I'm sorry. Oh, let's go. Go ahead, Jack.
Well, I got a lot of them here.
God.
Is this the trustees' comments for the end?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
you want to do more follow-ups? Go ahead. Knock yourself out.
Okay. Keith, the insurance for the accounts. I had called Lori about, and now that I'm back in the state, about proof of insurance for our amount over $1 million. And she said,
we got a letter from Walden, the head of the TD Bank, that we're collateralized for all of our accounts. We got a letter with him signing it.
Is that the one dated September 24?
I don't remember the date, but yeah, it's been about a month ago.
I don't feel comfortable. It says nothing about being insured for $1 million. It doesn't have an amount on there at all.
There is no amount.
There is no amount. It's whatever we got there. It is. There is no limit.
Collateralized, Sherry, which means it could be 10 million. It could be 20 million. It could be, we are insured up to whatever money we have. There's no limit.
Whatever's in there is what we're collateralized for.
Every penny.
Every penny.
When I look on the Florida State Public Depository, which is what that form says, if you read through that, it still has a $250,000 limit.
That's if
you get on the website.
What I'm going to do, why don't you give the office a call? I'm going to give you Weldon's phone number, and you can give him a call, and he can probably explain it better.
The FDIC, okay. I read that, and for what I got out of it, the FDC will back it up to $250,000 if FDIC goes really bankrupt and closes. That the only way that they can do it is if that's like anything. If the United States gets bombed, our bonds are no good. The same way with this. If the bank is completely gone, then that's a backup for bankruptcy. That's what that, to me, read. They can't do it. FDIC will step in and do the $250,000. But unless if they're around and they file bankruptcy, they gotta give us our portion, just like any bankruptcy court would do. I mean, you may not get every cent in because of the collateralization. They don't have the where for all the backup, but from what they're doing now, they have everything back.
All right, I'll call you, Cherie. What about cleaning of the grates? Cleaning of the grates, Cherie. Where are we with that?
I'm glad you asked.
Okay.
Because what I'm going to do is, now that we've decided which lawn service we're going to use, I would like to discuss that with the with Flawless and also with the board. They have the equipment to raise the grates and get in there and get them cleaned. So I didn't want to mention this before because I didn't know which direction we were going in, but this is an option. And as soon as we get things rolling here, I will be discussing this further with the board and with Flawless.
Okay. And what about grant writing? Sidewalks?
You asked that as well. Right now, I'm working on a grant that is to be submitted on October 30th. I am meeting with Sandra Urban tomorrow at 11 a.m. to discuss the grant that we may be entitled to or that we may get.
For what?
For the replacing the sidewalks. And what my
sidewalks.
The sidewalks throughout the entire community. I was going to report on this at the next meeting, but
that's the most important thing to get done.
Yes, all the sidewalks, not just a Band-Aid here and there, all the sidewalks replaced.
Yeah, make sure you use the word safety issue.
Well, it's a safety issue. Not only that, we have been self-isolating. This is where our seniors can get out and get exercise using the sidewalks. We're going to have...
but using them safely.
Well, that's why we need money. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You've got to use money. That word safety. That's where you get, that's where that money will come in from.
You all will get a copy of the application, and I won't give you the whole package because it's going to be about this thick. So I'll just give you like the application and the pitch that I'm going to use to why we need this money and why it's important.
Who is this person you're
Terry
meeting?
Terry and I are working on these.
Who?
Terry Steimer and myself.
And who did you say you're submitting it to? Where's the money? Who's got the money?
I am meeting with Sandra Urban. She's the Community and Economic Developer Housing Administrator. She is also in charge of the grants. Now, this grant, we will have this grant submitted by the 30th of this month. If for some reason, and this is totally COVID related. So that's why we're trying to make this an issue with having us, our seniors, out walking, getting exercise, social distancing in the meantime. Now, if we don't qualify or if we don't get this grant, there's another grant that will be available in November. They haven't listed the criteria for that yet, but I want to do the sidewalks for this one, and then next month we'll apply for maybe the bridges, the safety purposes.
Well, let's stick with the sidewalk for now. Okay. Where are you meeting with her?
City Hall.
Will she need to come in to view the sidewalks?
Pardon?
Will she need to come in to view the sidewalks?
I don't know, Joanne. I'm meeting with her just to get all the everything.
Okay.
And it's called the CBDG-CV funding under the coronavirus aid.
So that's what was in here.
CARES Act as well.
Okay, I saw that.
$458,099 available in grant money.
We'll take it all.
The substantial amendment includes an allocation of $80,000 for eligible public services and $286,479 for assistance related to special economic development and or affordable housing activities. And then there's also $91,619.80 set aside for eligible planning and administrative activities undertaken by the administrator,
CDBG-CV funds. So I believe that we have a good shot. We have a real good shot at this. So,
well, you have a, yeah. I mean, if you don't try, you don't get it. So you might just try.
So with the, having said that, for this one for October, next month is another one, which I'm on top of that as well.
Okay. Anything else, Cheryl?
What about the garage roof that you said was being repaired or something? What happened?
We're going to do that in-house. We don't need a new roof.
No, but have you spoken to Jose about doing it?
I have, and we're on board. He and I are going to do it along with Dwayne.
Who?
Dwayne.
Oh, you're not going to get that man up on that roof, are
no,
you?
No, he can hold the ladder. He can pass.
Oh, come on.
He can pass things up. No, Joanne, he is not going on the roof. Oh, by the way, just an FYI, if you see him in passing, he cut it off. It?
Gone.
He cut the billy goat off.
Okay. How have you had any replies to the ad we put in the paper regarding an additional custodian?
I have. I haven't found anyone yet.
Okay.
We're doing really well with what we have. I'm really surprised. It's working out very well.
Yeah, you might not have to hire anybody.
Okay. I don't, at this particular time, I'm not going to say anything. However, our scheduling, pool, maintenance, everything is spot on. Until the building opens and we have more activities, we're doing just fine.
Okay. Anybody else have any follow-ups? Jack, I think you had something you wanted to say earlier.
Oh, it's a kind of a matter of order of business. I think since Joe Prisco is not in the park, we should remove him from his seat too as a board of trustee member. Okay. And I would move that.
Now, having said that, there
I don't think you
need a reason.
You need a reason. You just
malfeasance.
There's no foul.
Bob.
In our bylaws, Article 5, Removal of Trustee, Chapter 418 of the Florida Statutes, removed by misfeasance or malfeasance only after a presiding officer gives written notice to the trustee to be removed. Written notice shall be set forth the specific reason for removal and the time and date of the meeting. It takes a majority vote to do that, number one. And for us to go into that right now, it would take approximately 3 to 4 meetings. And that's all we have left this year. So I just say, let it take its course.
Let it ride.
I'm gonna have to go along with that too, because I mean, he's absent doesn't mean there's any malfeasance with that.
Absolutely.
The respectful thing would be probably for him to resign because he is moving, and I believe he's moving next month. I don't know what the purpose is in his not, but that's his business, and I'm not going to get into that, and I don't see any reason to request that he be removed personally.
I did speak to him, and I suggested that it's probably in his best interest to leave with respect and dignity. I'm just saying, and he said, no, I am going to fulfill my entire term. I am allowed to miss 3 regular board meetings, and that's how it was left.
Okay. That's no problem. I personally, I don't see any problem with that. Let him stay on as whatever he wants to do. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Let it play out.
That's what I say. Let it play out. We've only got four more meetings. That's it.
My only concern is I hope that we are not part of his plan, because he did say at a meeting he wanted to keep his address so that he could vote. If he's voting without legally living at that address, there
but
may be a problem.
Us,
I hope that, we're not involved
nothing,
in that.
We have nothing to do with that.
Okay.
That's not a problem. Take it up with the government.
I have one question still.
Yes.
One of the basic qualities to be on the Board of Trustees is to be a resident of Holiday Park, and he is not. He's violating the basic thing. That's my concern.
Jack, he claims his father owns a home on Moonlight. He did at one time have a, he was registered as a non-owner resident. He can do that right now with his father's place. That's how he can claim that he is a resident. I mean, he's pushing it to the limit.
A loophole.
Yes.
Yep. Well, go.
Okay, Joanne.
Yes.
Are we, I did have one more follow-up thing.
Sure.
And that is to, I need a vote from the trustees to who's going to be signing checks, because we got the new assistant treasurer, and I need a third one in case one of us are gone. And I would like Jack Emery to be signers, the second signers or signers on the check.
You did that last week. You did that last week. We said Jack Emery.
I did that, but they want it in the minutes of the name so I can give it and a vote.
Didn't I put that in the minutes?
I didn't see it.
I thought
you
did.
Did you vote on it, though? I don't think we voted on it.
You said you didn't have to. You appointed him. He was appointed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Isn't it in the minutes? Hold on. I've got the minutes here. I think we've, because I had asked about that, a vote. No, it's just an appointment, you said. Yes, Keith Richer appointed Jack Emery as a signer, and it was accepted. Yeah.
Okay.
It's all in these. So what you have to do is take the approved October 12th minutes.
Yeah, I got them set up for tomorrow.
Yeah, you've got the three signers, yeah.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
Okay, is there anything else? Any other comments?
No.
Okay, hearing none, can I call for a motion to adjourn?
No, you got to, do we ask any more public comments at the end of the meeting?
I just did.
That was, she did before the board.
No, I just asked. There's no other comments? And any other trustee comments? No? I'd like to have a motion to adjourn.
I'm so moved. Keith.
Keith.
Second.
Okay.
Whoever, Russ. Okay.
Yes.
Did you second it?
Yes, ma'am.
3:26.
Russ,
3:25. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. Good meeting.